Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of 1 John chapter 2, we were talking about some things that a Christian needs to separate himself from. Let's continue with that thought today.
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says.
There to be holy, even as he is holy. This desired behavior will always be diametrically opposed to the very course of this age. You read 1 Peter 1:13-16, be holy for I the Lord your God am holy. You read 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. You find that your temple is the Holy Ghost, don't defile it. And Romans 12:1-2, we are to be presenting our bodies, not just our spirit, but our bodies, living sacrifices that are holy and acceptable unto God, not just men, unto God. And it's our reasonable service, the way in which we worship God. 1 John 2:15-17 that we just finished up. If we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. And find that the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, that's not of God. That is evil. So we're separated from worldliness. We're separated from apostasy and unbelief. A believer must not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, thereby being identified with unbelief by association, whether it's in ministry, whether it's in worship, or other joint religious activities. Again, you want to check that out? 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. By the way, this is why I tell you to have pencil and paper every time we're on. You can write these things down. 1 Timothy 6:3, also verse 5. As a matter of fact, 1 Timothy 6:3-5. 1 Timothy 6:3-5. And then 2 Timothy 2:19-22, 3:1-5. How about Amos 3:3? So we're separated from worldliness and sinful practices, separated from apostasy and unbelief. And then we ought to be separated from disobedient brethren and doctrinal compromise. And that's with respect to all ministry and service. A believer is identified with the doctrinal positions and practices of those with whom he is in fellowship, both before God as well as before man. Separation from those that are not walking according to the truth detours the leavening effect of compromise, and it gives a faithful warning to an erring brother. Again, write these down to check this out. Romans 16:17, 2 Thessalonians 3:6, and 14-15. 2 John 10:11. Galatians 2:9-11, and 1 Corinthians 15:33. Too often we sacrifice the holy on the altar of the desire for the applause of men that we would consider good men, but that's still sin. And each sin is like a brick. The more unconfessed sin we have, the bigger the wall we build between us and God. And after a while, it will block us out from hearing the voice of Jesus. Every time we confess our sin, kicks a brick down from the wall. The smaller the wall, the more joy we can have. You see, essentially, sin steals true joy, because true joy is filled with peace, and that which hath no need of repentance. Yes, there are people that they're deceived themselves, but they are rating as ministers of righteousness, and we've got to watch out for them. And so, understand that you have a real belief. Now, some of these people give orders to make themselves Lord. They lord over the flock. What does 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 through 4 tell us? It says there, feed the flock of God. Now, the Holy Spirit used the Apostle Peter to write this. And he called himself in verse 1 an elder or pastor as well. And so, he says, feed the flock is what we're to do. Feed the flock of God. What do we feed? The Word of God. See, Jesus is the living Word. The Bible's written Word, and there's no conflict between the two. So, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. Well, that's my duty. I guess I got to do it. No. Out of love, why you do it? Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, a mind that wants to help. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Oh, that will shine forever and forever and forever. What a great thing that is. What a special thing that is. Now, Jesus said there would be people in these last days who come and say, I am Christ. Now, many have the tendency to think they're claiming to be the Messiah themselves. And that really fools very few people. Now, the way they usually fool people is by saying this, God told me. You see, God told me he wants me to be his leader in whatever it is. And it makes him a lord of the flock, in which he governs their personal life. I can remember hearing a young preacher say, well, if it weren't for me, this wouldn't have happened. And it was something good. I'm always leery of the person that says, if it weren't for me. Don't trust them. They're taking glory that belongs to God if it was something good and holy before the Lord, and they're trying to take credit for it. That is being anti-Christ. That is in place of Christ. Taking the glory that's due unto his holy name. That's a dangerous thing, by the way. That is a very dangerous thing. And, of course, they want to govern your personal life. That's why the Lord gave us Psalm 138 and verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Now, let me stop right there, for thy truth. Remember what Jesus said in John 17:17? He said, thy word is truth. In John 14:6, he says, I am the way and the truth, that no man come to the Father but by him. So he says, again, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now, I've said it here, but I'm still just taken in by this, by the Lord, when I think of this verse. And he says, he's magnified his word above his name. When I read Philippians 2, 9 through 11, I see that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth. and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For the glory of God, at the name of Jesus, every knee bows. And if that name is going to cause all the knees to bow, and then he's magnified his word above his name. How important is the word of God? You see, the word of God is the source of authority in all areas of our personal life. Now, you have today that are critics, and they talk about the critical text, critical thinking, but all their criticalness is of that which is truth instead of their error. Well, we're just trying to get you to think. Why are you trying to be the devil's advocate to get us to think? Why not get us to think on the truth? Why not get us to think on, hey, if I'll be a witness, if I'll do this? I've had Calvinists get upset because we talk about the blood on your hands as Ezekiel chapter 3 and chapter 33 mention. Oh, that is a terrible thing that anybody would say, blood on it. I'm just trying to make them feel guilty and all. I'm just giving God's message. If God says that it's true, now you can decide whether you're mad at God and tell God he's a liar, or you better decide you're the liar and better get in his way, because you don't want God's wrath against you. So, we should obey the word of God above man's word. Obey God's word above man. Now, we have examples in the scriptures when men were told to do things that just seemed to go against their nature. Remember, Naaman was told to dip into Jordan 7 times? Man, that went against his grain. Didn't make sense. It just didn't make sense. But when he did it, God healed him. And down through the Bible, you can look up examples where God says, go this direction to Moses. They go to that direction. Well, they're hemmed in. The Egyptian army's following them. They're hemmed in because there's a great big lake. And God parts the waters. They obeyed God, even though it didn't make sense at the time. They obeyed God, and then God acted. Don't expect God to act, then you'll obey. You obey, then you'll see God act. Because, you see, that's what faith is all about. And so the faith of Moses was made sight when the waters parted. And we could go on through the Bible looking at different things that God told men to do, led them to do, and it just became the opposite. You know, it made sense. I mean, it was very logical. Lord, send all these people. They're going to fall by the way. Let them go back and be able to buy food, you know. There's 5,000 men besides women and children. And the Lord says, well, let's give to them. What do you got? Well, we just got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish this little boy gave us.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says, I will plant my feet.